Welcome to another episode of the CJ McCollum Show. It is currently Thursday. We are recording on a Thursday. We'll get into that much later as to why, but we're excited to be recording. And before we start, we just want to recognize a member of our NBA family passing away recently. Dejan Milojevic tragically passed away from a heart attack at the age of 46 a few days ago. And we just want to celebrate him, mourn his loss, and pay respects to him, his family. He was a father. He was a husband, and he's going to be deeply, deeply missed in our NBA community and beyond. But we just want to appropriately pay our respects. And I know, Cassidy, you had some stories, and you I'm sure, have come in contact with him throughout your career with him being a member of their championship run, if there's anything you wanted to share.
Yeah, I mean, he was in his third season with the Warriors, and, you know, just talking to people as the news kind of broke yesterday. I was in L.A., covering the Lakers and Mavericks game, and you could just feel, you know, everybody kind of wondering what was going on as we saw a postponement, the news that, you know, a member of the Warriors was hospitalized, and then unfortunately we saw the news that he passed. And, you know, everybody that I spoke with who knew him just raved about what an amazing guy he was. You know, he coached in Serbia for a while and actually coached a young Nikola Jokic before, you know, he came to the United States, obviously, to be, you know, the now two-time MVP with the Nuggets. But, you know, he was a mentor to Jokic. He also works closely with Boban Marjanovic, and, you know, with the Warriors, he work primarily with Kevon Looney, who is also the ultimate pro, but, you know, raved about his attention to detail. And, you know, we sat down with Luca before the game, who, you know, sent out a tweet yesterday just saying rest in peace. And he just said he was just an amazing guy, and so warm and so knowledgeable. And, you know, you can definitely feel how much the Warriors family is hurting. And we send our respects to, you know, his family, the whole NBA family. And it's a tough loss, and you can certainly feel it across the league. Just changing, you know, it's a hard transition here, but I guess, you know, want to, you know, shed some positive light here, CJ, is some other news that kind of crossed our timelines was you just keep adding things to your impressive resume. Like, what don't you do? You started the McCollum Scholars Program, which is just incredible. Like, I don't know how you have time to do this, but it seems like you're constantly finding ways to help others, whether that's as a, you know, a leader on your team, leader of the Players Association, you know, a leader of your own wine business. And now you're teaming up with College Beyond, which is like a New Orleans-based organization dedicated to college access and success. And you're going to be providing financial, socio-emotional, and academic support to low-income high school students in Orleans Parish. Like, what more can you tell us about this? What an amazing venture that you're doing in the middle of the season.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I don't have enough time to do all of these things. I got a lot of help and people who carry the torch, if you will, on lots of ideas that we ideate about. And I mean, I can only do so much and try to play basketball, try to be a father, try to be a husband. So I won't take credit for all of this. This is a collaborative effort from my family to Ashley, to the Pelicans. Everybody is contributing and figuring out ways to collectively collaborate on these things. But it took a lot of work from a lot of different people, years of preparation. The concept, the idea, obviously started with just trying to figure out how we could impact New Orleans specifically as a family. What can we do to kind of give back and show our appreciation for this city, for the people of this city, and just kind of looking at different areas specifically for this market. Obviously, food insecurities, obviously, juvenile justice system is something that we see that the crime rate is high. Education is a big part of my family. with my wife being a doctor, with me having a degree, the amount of years of school she went through, the amount of years of school I went through, and the fact that I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship and be able to go play basketball in college and not have to worry about the finances behind it. My wife had to take out a lot of loans, and the process of understanding that and the understanding that the average person can't afford college. And when you look at the city that we live in specifically and how we can impact it, it was an area we made a focus immediately. And in terms of steps that were taken, actually for my agency, you know, handles all my off court stuff. And she was a rock star and kind of figuring out, you know, who to collaborate with, who to partner with. And we just kind of took it from there. And we were thankful to be able to partner with College Beyond, an organization that kind of helps you maneuver through these types of situations, and has been in business now, I believe, 6 years. But they've been a phenomenal partner. The Pelicans have been a phenomenal partner. And for me, it's just about giving back. It's about figuring out ways to help people, figuring out ways to put people in a position where they can succeed. I know where I come from. It's either, you know, get really good grades or get a scholarship, playing a sport. We didn't really have a lot of different opportunities to financially be able to cover tuition or just things that we like to do in general. And I always say a lot of times we're in position to do what we have to do and not what we want to do. And I wanted to be able to position some people to do what they want to do and be able to make decisions based on their interests, their goals, and their aspirations, and not be, you know, kind of boxed in. So we're excited to be able to sponsor 10 kids. The process has started. We actually have a press conference on January 22nd. And I think the cool thing about this program is just...
What's happening on the 22nd? Are you going to announce the winners or are you...
No. This is just a press conference to kind of answer some questions and kind of go through the steps, the process that we went through, and then kind of what the application process will consist of. The deadline to register is February 23rd, so there's still plenty of time left, and I'll post the link again and we'll have a link sent out. But just in terms of the eligibility criteria, applicants must currently attend a high school in Orleans Parish or reside in Orleans Parish, which is important. We want to really focus on New Orleans specifically. There's also a financial need kind of attached to it. So priority will be given to students whose household income falls below 200% of the poverty line, as well as those who qualify for government assistance programs such as SNAP, housing subsidies, disability, and or free or reduced lunch. I was a kid who grew up on free or reduced lunch. So there's a lot of synergies here in some of the things that we're doing. We're striving for kids who, you know, are among academic excellence. So applicants who demonstrate a strong academic track record with a minimum GPA of 3.0. So there are requirements, obviously, leadership and community engagement. Students should exhibit a robust history of leadership roles, whether that's student council or participating in community engagement activities. So we're trying to position it so that we're targeting the right audience of kids, but also positioning them to succeed going forward. And there's an application process that you obviously submit: letter of recommendation, high school transcript, ACT, SAT score, and proof of financial need, so that we kind of make sure that we are handling this properly. But in terms of the deadline, I'll read the deadline. Deadlines: January 15th, we announced it, which was Martin Luther King Day. Mm-hmm. Application deadline is February 23rd. Semifinalists selected between March 4th and March 15th, where we'll conduct phone interviews. Finalists will be selected during in-person interviews, March 25th to the 29th, and then the scholars will be selected April 5th. And I'll be a part of the process on and off. My wife will be a part of the interview process. Ashley will be a part of the interview process because obviously I'm playing games, but we'll have a lot of collaborative efforts in which we interact with the kids. We do dinners and we do all those different types of things. But to start, we're just excited about being able to really position these kids to succeed. And I think the cool part is, as a guy who went to college, you understand what was helpful for you and what you wish you had. And one of the things I wish I had was mentors early on. So we want to make sure we're providing one-on-one training with mentors. We want to make sure that we're not only just providing financial support, but helping you with statement writing, helping you with college tours, helping you with resume reviews, helping you with the application process, I think is extremely important. And then I think the last thing that I'm really, really excited about is the career advising support that we'll give on the way out, resume writing, interview prep, and internship placement. This was something that I specifically talked to Ashley about. I specifically talked to some other people who had to transition from college to trying to find a job. And a lot of times what we see now is people qualifying for internships, externships, and not financially being able to either get there or not being able to survive in another city. So we want to make sure that we're able to help with the onboarding process. And as a person who is fortunate enough to have a lot of mentors now, I mean, I wish I could have some of the conversation that I'm having now when I was in college trying to figure it out as a kid in the middle of nowhere at Lehigh. So
that's part of your journey, though.
Yeah. But it doesn't hurt to have a little bit of extra help and insight from someone who's been in your shoes before. So I'm extremely excited. And once again,
that is a reason why you're now giving back the way that you are. And I know you're being modest and saying, you know, it's not just you, but you putting all these people in place and surrounding yourself with people who have this, you know, shared goal to give back and help is, you know, is all part of, you know, your journey and where you are in your life and in your overall success. So serious kudos to you. What an amazing, amazing thing that you're doing. And I can't wait to see it, you know, evolve and it pay off for a lot of these kids. You're going to make a huge difference in their lives. You already are for a lot of, you know, Pelicans fans, but it's going deeper there in that New Orleans community. And I know that they're all appreciative of you there.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you are into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's awesome. Please keep us updated on it on the CJ McCollum show as we go on through the season. And you said you're going to post the link again. And you're just, I mean, you're settling in there so nicely in New Orleans. It's like, I feel like just yesterday you're with the Blazers, but also it feels like so long ago when you think about just, you know, your midseason trade. And we're in that time of year again. And, you know, one of the biggest trades we were waiting on for this trade deadline season was Pascal Siakam, and he got moved with the Indiana Pacers in exchange for Bruce Brown, Jordan Nora, and two 2024 first round picks and one 2026 conditional first. Kyra Lewis, you know, was sent over to Toronto as part of like a third team in the deal. First, let's talk about Kyra. Like, do you have like a story on him? You know, it's always tough losing someone from the roster. I think he had like, you know, a lot of potential, young, had some spurts, but, you know, it's been from the outside looking in, just couldn't really gain a lot of traction there in New Orleans.
Yeah, Kyra's a really good kid. I think this will be a good opportunity for him to get a fresh start, a change of scenery. But just a little bit about him. Man. We talk about a guy who's one of the fastest players I've ever been around. Extremely hard worker, who's recovering from an ACL and still one of the fastest players I've ever been around. And just a genuinely good soul who everybody enjoyed interacting with. I would go to the gym at night. I was doing 2-a-days and then I shifted to 3-a-days. And I would take my son and my wife and I, we would go to the gym for one of those three workouts a day. And I would catch him in the facility during at least two of those workouts very often. And one of those times I ended up going at like, it was like 11 p.m. I put my son down. He was asleep. And I looked at my wife and I was like, I'm going to leave some shots up tonight and maybe get a little lift in because my PT was in town. So we went to the gym and there was a car there. And I was like, whose car is here? And we have parking spots, obviously. So the older you are, the closer you are to the door. And I'm the oldest on the team, so I'm right by the door. So there was somebody like close to me and I didn't recognize the vehicle because normally it's the oldest players on the team. GT was next to me and then I don't know who it was. Maybe it was B.I. and Hernan Gomez because they were like 7 years into the league. And it was a car I didn't recognize. And I get into the gym and it's Kyra and he's shooting on the gun at 11 p.m. And I think that just kind of shows you the work ethic, the dedication, mm-hmm. the understanding of it. And I said to him, I said, like, keep that work ethic. This is before the season started. I said, everybody wants to be great, but everybody doesn't want to put the time in. And, you know, this is my 11th year in the league and I'm still coming at 11 p.m. And you're obviously early in your career, but you're establishing the right type of work ethic. And this is the stuff that no one sees that is going to pay off for you a lot down the road. And I think that's just a testament to him. You know, always in the gym, I would double back and he would be there. And I was just like, that's what you love to see as somebody who's been in the league for a long time is someone who may be in a rotation, maybe out of it, but is still working the same way. And throughout this season, he was out of the rotation. He's still the first one in the gym. He's working out before his PD time, and PD time is player development. We all have our slots. He would work out at 9 or 9:30 and then his PD time would be at 10:30. So he'd get a workout in before the workout, which kind of shows you his mindset and understanding of what he wanted to accomplish. But I wish him the best and I'm sure he'll be great. And ironically, he's back in Toronto with GT. So it's going to be cool to see them kind of rekindle.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's interesting, you know, a lot of guys now in Toronto looking to kind of take off. Same thing with the trade with Quickley and RJ Barrett, you know, wanting to kind of find their groove. Let's revisit just how this big trade impacts, obviously, the Pacers. What do you think about the fit for Siakam? I mean, their offense was already efficient. How do you think he's going to fit with them?
Yeah, I think he fits like a glove, and I have a lot of appreciation for Bruce Brown's game, his ability to guard, obviously, 1 through 4, 1 through 5. He can initiate the offense, plays a great role, but Siakam is a different beast. This is a three-level scorer, guy who's over 70% at the rim, efficient from mid-range, can catch and shoot threes, and obviously gives them another dynamic in terms of being able to hunt matchups and find isolation opportunities. And you pair him alongside Holly, they're going to be really, really good. And looking at Carlisle, the way their offense is ran right now, it's fast paced. It's lots of screens, ball screens. They run ISOs. They have some flare screen actions, similar to what we ran in Portland with Terry, but maybe more so on steroids because of the pace between what the game was like then and what it's like now, 10 years later. They are going to be a handful to deal with in the Eastern Conference. And I'm looking forward to seeing on what that looks like for them as a team and what type of potential matchups we may get in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. They were in the in-season tournament finals and they're, you know, towards the top of the East and they made that big move. I could see, you know, Bruce being moved at some point. I don't know if he's in for the long run in Toronto. But speaking of, you know, Toronto, I mean, there were trade rumors about the Raptors, veterans of, you know, Pascal, OG, Fred VanVleet last year. But, you know, with the moves that they made this year, like what do you think the direction of the team is going to be for them? I mean, I know they obviously picked up RJ Quick, it's hard, you know, like, yeah. I know Masai was very close with Pascal. You saw he got emotional talking about the trade. But I think they all kind of knew it was time to move on. I mean, I think the first domino was Nick Nurse leaving, last year. So, you know, what do you think of the Raptors and what their future holds?
I think Masai knows what he's doing. Obviously he's one of the best, I call them managers of teams throughout the NBA, because obviously he's handling roster, he's handling personnel, he's handling acquisitions and trades. He knows what he's doing, and he's collecting a lot of different assets for them to be able to make a decision on how to move forward. Obviously, moving OG, moving Pascal, they were able to get RJ Barrett, a Canadian, who was extremely eager to kind of prove people wrong coming out of New York and being so young but so talented. You get Quickly, who was due for a big payday and now can be, you know, your guard of the future, a guy who can score, can run pick and roll, play an ISO. And you get a lot of different assets along with that that you can move, whether that's first round picks, second round picks, pick swaps. So they have flexibility to still compete for a spot in the playoffs, whether that's play in or otherwise. And they still have draft assets to be able to go get another player or just draft well. And that positions you very well in a league where there's a lot of talent coming, whether that's from this upcoming draft or the draft everybody hopes to be a part of with the kid that's going to Duke right now and seems to be very, very good.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, also, if you, you know, ask Darko Rajakovic, Scottie Barnes is the face of the NBA, future face of the NBA. So, a lot of, did you hear that?
Yeah.
I mean, Scottie's great. He certainly has, they didn't want to let go of him. He's the anchor they wanted to hold on to. We'll see. I mean, I'm happy for RJ being back. I'm happy for Quick to kind of get some more run, because it was pretty inconsistent in terms of getting a real flow in New York. So we will see. We'll see what happens with the Raptors. But speaking of Darko Rajakovic, he's been getting a lot of play with his post-game comments, and you know, he went on that.
I like him a lot.
You like him?
I like him a lot. Yeah, I do. I've heard great things about him. GT was telling me stories about him.
Yeah.
Strong personality, very blunt.
Clearly.
Love him. Love him.
Clearly.
Don't know him, but love him. Don't know him at all.
Because him and Mike Brown, they're on some comedy. Maybe Darko wasn't, you know, trying to be funny, but you know, he was upset after a 23-2 fourth quarter free throw split the fourth quarter against the Lakers. And then Mike Brown got ejected after running, you know, onto the court and then yelling at a ref against the Bucks, and then brought out the laptop, which is definitely a meme. I'm going to ask you this, and understanding what you could say as president of the Players Association, but like, what do you think of how much coaches are voicing their opinions on refs this season? And, you know, how have you felt about the officiating? Because I know officiating complaints is also like as a part of the fabric of the game as much as any sport. But I said it like early on in our podcast, it just feels a little different this year.
I think twofold. I can understand the discontentment from coaches, if that's even a word, from coaches.
I was thinking about it. I'm like, I gotta look that up.
Discontentment.
See, it's late. Okay, you got
What are you saying?
These two these two 30-somethings up here, post put down. Wait, discontentment?
It's a word, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it's a word. There we go. I didn't have to make one up this time, but I can understand their frustration because it's a competitive game. It's impossible for them to get every call, right? And it's impossible for you not to feel slighted as a player because in your mind, you're getting fouled more often than you are. In your mind, things are never going your way. So I can understand that. But I think, and I had this conversation today with the competition committee and, you know, just understanding the rules and making sure we're all on the same page with the actual rule and the way the rule is being officiated, because sometimes there's blurred lines between that and you have certain referees who enforce the rule one way and certain referees who enforce the rule another way. So then that's where you get the gray lines and you get players saying, well, like last night that wasn't a foul, tonight it's a foul, or last night that was a foul, tonight it's not a foul. Like, why is there a difference? But I think the conversations can be more productive for our game sometimes in private, like being able to talk to the referees, being able to have a referee meeting where you're watching the film, you're breaking it down. This is what I see. Tell me what you see. And I think we're in the process of doing more of those types of things, which I think will be helpful. But in terms of Mike Brown and Darko just kind of expressing, you know, their feelings, I think you have a right to your own opinion. You have a right to express things in the way that you see fit.
Yeah. And you get in front of a microphone post game and it's emotional.
It's going to happen. And I think they both went about it in different ways. Mike brought out the laptop and I thought that was, you know, pretty funny because I was really watching the clip too, to kind of see like, wait, let me see what he's talking about here. And I think that kind of painted the
picture. He got hit with a $50,000 fine. Darko, yeah. I think, was 25.
Yeah. And I think in Mike's
So the props cost him an extra 25?
I think it was the props and the ejection. He got ejected.
Oh, okay.
Didn't leave the court in a timely manner. I think that in the rule book, it says like upstaging or showing up the referees. I think he checked all the boxes in terms of what you can be penalized for.
Okay.
Under these settings and circumstances. But I think you have a right to do things the way you see fit. What I would like to see happen is more dialogue between players and refs and more respect from both parties. We got to respect the referees more as players because we'd be snapping on them. And I think they got to like meet us halfway and understand that like we got a lot on the line every night. Like when I shoot a three and somebody comes under me and I twist my ankle and there's no foul call and I still got to rehab 2 weeks later, like, of course I'm going to be upset about that and I'm going to scream on you. So it's like, you got to understand the moment. And then as players, we also got to understand that like, look, these refs aren't perfect. They're going to make mistakes. And we also aren't being wronged as much as we think we're being wronged. I think that's something that we got to come to grips with, come to terms with.
But I don't know. I mean, do you think you guys have the capacity to do that when you're competing at the highest level?
Not always, but I think there's a maturity that has to kick in from older players and older referees, right? Like, you have more experience than others.
But that's it. I think we're seeing like training of younger referees, you know, like there's been a transition a bit.
Right.
And that happens though. Like, you only can get better from learning from your mistakes, as I would think specifically as a ref, because you're it's basically your how present and your instincts and your complete understanding of the game.
Right.
But, you know, I think some players find it to be, you know, if there's biases playing, like, I think that's sometimes, you know, what kind of sends some players, like, are you, like, how much are you impacting this game and for what reason? And just, and I'm saying that purely from like a preparation, mental state, no other kind of way.
Right. No, I completely agree. I think you just hope that it's not at your expense.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's a learning experiment and a lesson for everybody. Physicality of the game, the way it's being played now, all those things are different. Players are younger and younger, which means more mistakes are going to be made. Referees are newer and newer, which means some mistakes are going to be made. So we just got to meet each other halfway. And I think we are doing that. I shot 2 free throws last game. I'd like to shoot 4 next game.
Right. You guys have been playing well, though. I know you had that rough, back-to-back with the Mavs, even, you know, with basically after you beat them, with you, Zion, B.I., and Trey out, you know, you guys lost with all of your stars in. But I was at your game against the Warriors. And also the game before that, the Kings. And I said this in my post game with Zion. He didn't like it, but I had to bring it up. That you back-to-back games, because of how insane your offense has been, had the home crowd booing their team. And I brought that up, and Zion was like, no, we just want to win. But how good does it feel to, like, blow out a team on the road? And you guys were, you guys have been killing it on the road.
Yeah, we're playing really well on the road right now. And outside of that Dallas loss, where I think we should have had, I think we're executing, we're shooting more threes. The rotation is becoming more consistent with our health being more consistent. We're having really good quality practices, working on the right schemes. And defensively, we've been great. Now, offensively, we've been the best team in the NBA the last 10 games. The last, I don't know, 20 games, we're top four in defense and top 10 in offense. This season, we're, you know, top five or six. I think we're fifth or sixth in defense. We were 11th in offense going into this road trip. Net rating is top five. Like, we're in a really good spot. It's just about continuing to stack great days, staying healthy, and doing the little things it takes to be successful throughout an 82-game season.
I also did a end of first quarter interview with CJ where I forgot a word. But, you know, the Virgo perfectionist in me was like, oh, my God.
What word did you forget?
I forgot. So you guys scored, I think, 42 points in the first quarter of that Warriors game. I mean, it was like, it was over before it even started. And I go up to you, and I don't know why I was nervous. I was talking to you, but you know, I wanted to make sure it was good. And I'm like, oh, and I said, something along the lines of that you guys just put up a 42 quarter. I forgot to say point. So I say,
no one noticed but you. You're the only one that noticed.
You know, then you know the language I'm speaking though.
I do, but I'm also just coming out of the game. I'm sweating. I'm tired. I'm breathing hard.
I'm glad you didn't notice, because I'm like, oh, he's like, why is she? This is my brain. This is the problem. Like, I pick apart, like, me, you know.
You're fine. No one
messing up a word or
only you
flubbing.
Notice the word.
I know. It's just a torture in my own head. But maybe that's what's helped me get to this point. Just complete and utter torture. I enjoyed watching you. You were having a great time that game.
The game is supposed to be fun. Life is hard. There's a lot of things in life that are very, very difficult. This is supposed to be fun.
Yes.
So I try to make it as fun as possible. It's a nice escape from the reality that we all lead that is very difficult. This is like 2 hours of fun, and I get paid for it. So it's like a bonus.
So for those who have stuck with us the whole way here, you mentioned like a tease as to why we're recording this at close to 9 o'clock. It's my fault. The weather and travel has been crazy.
It's the weather's fault.
Has been crazy. We were supposed to record on Tuesday, and then, you know, delays. Anyone who's been traveling lately knows my pain. But if you're also like listening to this and, you know, your eyes are starting to get heavy because we're like monotone because we're both tired. These are two parents right now, post put down. We both just kind of want a glass of wine and be sitting on the couch. But if I'm going to do anything other than that, it'd be talking basketball with you, CJ.
I wouldn't be doing anything else besides this. And I'm thankful we were able to figure out the schedule. And,
yes.
I hope you have better travel mercy in the future. We were delayed 2.5 hours.
Oh, your travel was horrendous.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was brutal. We had a rough 11-day, 10-day trip. And then to get stuck on the tarmac for 2 hours and 45 minutes was brutal.
Can you put, since it's like your plane, are you allowed to like lay your seat down? Or do you have to like put all your stuff away and put your seat right up, like like us Gen Pop people? No, you can do whatever you want, right? So you're like, yeah, if you're waiting on the Solace, you can go to bed.
Yeah, I got my bag underneath me, but it's not a lay down plane. It's a nice plane. It's very large, but you go like 3/4 recline. I think it's like 3/4. It's like that awkward spot where you're like, do I go all the way back or do I just stay like stiff back? Cause it's like here, but it doesn't go. It's not the pods where you can lay down all the way. But I used to lay on the floor in Portland when we have those long trips. I go to the exit row, put a blanket down, and sleep on the floor.
Like, but like, how comfortable is like JV?
He sits at the table that has the four chairs facing each other, and there's a table in the middle because he plays cards. So
he plays cards instead of sleeps. Like,
yeah, half it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys play cards instead of sleep every trip. Unless they're extremely exhausted, you'll see them go to sleep, but they normally play every trip.
What game?
What is it? Boo? Blu-ray?
No, I ask. I don't even. I've heard of it.
I'd be hearing booze. Blu-ray.
Oh. Do you know how to play? Clearly not.
No, they say that it's easy, and I say I don't want to learn. Similar to spades, I'm guessing, but I have no idea.
I'll play a good game of Go Fish. At like
dominoes, spades, Uno.
I don't know. Uno. Are you good at spades?
I'm not bad.
Have you ever played in D Wade spades tournament during All Star?
I never make it.
Okay.
I never make it to it.
There's always Indy.
Maybe I'll.
Okay.
Maybe.
I think we've reached that point. We've made it this far, and I think it's time to say goodnight. It's always a pleasure. We'll see. We'll talk next week about exciting weekend of basketball.
Can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
Who do you have next?
We got the Suns on Friday, and then we're off Saturday, Sunday, Monday. No game because we played so many games. We get 3 days off in a row.
What are you going to do? Are you going to watch football?
I'm going to watch football. I'm going to clean my room, clean my office.
You actually do the cleaning?
No. Okay. Not always. But like my office, yes. Like I got to go through papers. I got to shred some stuff. Like that's a different type of cleaning. Not like
so important.
Standard cleaning. No, not even like that. Like I got certain documents I got to get rid of.
Yeah.
Just different types of good problems to have, I would say.
I'm going to be a good company gal, and I'm going to go to Disney on Ice.
Wow. Good for you. I'm interested in hearing about that. When my daughter gets a little older, I'll have to check it out.
I've already been 3 times, so I can already tell you.
Well, fill me in.
I will. Yeah. I just keep on. They give me money, and I give it back to them. That's how this works.
It's the cycle of life.
Okay, bye.